Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Grateful to be here. Again, another day God has allowed us. So great. I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. And like Tan said, welcome to the show. It's May 4th, 2022. It's 7:06 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are excited to be here.
Yes, we are. I hope you're excited. You know, we got a lot to be excited about, and we have to take action in our own excitement. Yes, we do, because today's scripture is funny. It said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know, whatever you're desiring, you know, to do, the key to it, you know, it says, delight yourself in him. And he'll give them to you. And we have to really seek God for everything. Seek God for direction. Seek God for timing. Seek God for purpose. Seek God for the training and the skills, you know, the knowledge, you know, that's needed. God directs our path. He'll send you to the right school to get the right training. He'll send you to the right bank to do business with. He'll send you to the right customers. He'll send you to the right job. You know, send you to the right company, the right boss. You know, God will direct our path as long as we delight ourselves in him. You know, and really, when we are seeking these desires, these are the things that God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about it. Your desires outside of evil, anything good, that's God. You know, and so when we are focusing on wanting to obtain our desires, we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. We have to please him. You know, when we're delighting ourselves, you know, we're pleasing God. We're pleasing him with consistent communication. We're pleasing him, the fact that we are seeking him for answers. We're pleasing him, the fact that we are putting our faith in his instructions and his word for our lives. And that's the foundational principle that we all should govern our lives by, which would definitely propel us to the next level of our calling.
Amen. Something that I've been studying today, I'll let you guys know earlier or on a different show that I was studying the book of Ecclesiastes to learn about wisdom. You know, it's one of the wisdom books. And, you know, I was praying and asking the Lord, why did he have Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes? And the reason that the Lord told me is because he was the wisest man to have ever lived and the wisest man that will ever have lived. And we live in a world where people like to base information on leading authorities. So if you were a person who based belief in what's being told on a leading authority, then Solomon is the leading authority on wisdom. Nobody will ever be as wise as him. Nobody will ever be wiser than him. So he is the leading authority on wisdom. So the things that he says, it's like some people will take whatever the CDC says as the gospel because they feel that they're the leading authority on infectious disease or a certain, you know, doctor, they might take their word as authority. There's all these different people or groups or organizations that people trust because they consider them the leading authority. Well, God made Solomon the leading authority. And some people might look at the life of Solomon and how he fell off because of his wives turning his heart away and all that kind of thing. And so he more than anybody knows the ups and downs of life and what matters and what doesn't matter. But something that caught my eye when I was studying today was Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12. And this is a very timely message. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. It says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his life seemingly is prolonged in spite of his wickedness, still I know that it will be well with those who reverently fear God, who fear and worship him openly, realizing his omnipresence and his power. I know we're coming into a time where things are really It seems like wicked is really just advancing, because even it says that it seems like they're even though they're doing, the sinner's doing evil 100 times, it seems like their life is prolonged in spite of the wickedness. But what he says is, still I know that it will be well with those who reverently fear God, who fear and worship him openly, realizing his omnipresence and his power. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight, is just that awareness that God is omnipresent. He's not taking a nap. You know, remember when Elijah went up against the false prophets and he's asking them, where's their God? Is he on vacation? Is he using the restroom? You know, our God isn't like false gods, that, you know, that false gods are demonic. But our God is always with us. He says he'll never leave nor forsake us. And our God has real, true power. He is the power. And when we remember that, it helps us to be well. Because listen to what he says. He says, still, I know that it will be well with those who reverently fear God, who fear and worship him openly, realizing his omnipresence and his power. That's how you stay well, because you have a reverential fear of God. Because I know that there's been a lot of talk about the Roe v. Wade decision that's upcoming with the Supreme Court. And I've been even seeing, you know, Christian leaders bashing other Christian leaders because of their stance on it. So whether you're pro-life or pro-choice or whatever, and I asked God, I said, well, Lord, what stance? We know how you feel about killing and that kind of thing, but as a believer, what stance do you want me to take on it if I was to be asked about it? And the Lord said, when you have a reverential fear of me, it doesn't matter what the government allows, because I should be ruling. And that's the stance you take, that it doesn't matter what the government is doing. It doesn't matter what they allow, because the government's allowance doesn't legislate what we are as believers, as kingdom citizens, what we are allowed to do or not do. It's God who determines what we are allowed to do or not do. Just because the government says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay with God. So it doesn't matter what the world is allowing or not allowing. As believers, we just focus on what we as individuals and what we as a collective body of Christ, what we choose to do or not do, just because the government is allowing or not allowing. So it's not even worth fighting about, because you have the ability, there's lots of allowances. Mm-hmm. There's lots of allowances that we don't partake in or that we don't divulge in. Just because it's allowed doesn't mean anything. The allowance is not what causes people to do the things that they decide to do. It's an act of the will. You can't control people based on what they're allowed to do or not allowed to do from a government standpoint, because people are going to do what they want to do regardless. They'll find a way to do what they want to do. So that's not dictating why people are doing it. They do it because they want to. That's why people do the things that they do. And so, something that we have to be well in these wicked times is a reverential fear of God. That's what rules you. That's what reigns in your life. It's having a reverential fear of God. Not being like, oh, society's okay with this, so I'm cool. No, what does God think about the decisions that I make? What does God think about the things that I do? What does God think about the things that I'm saying? How does God feel about how I'm representing him? That's what matters. That's what should be ruling in your life. Because the government is the government. That's the world. That's not our kingdom. We're in it. We're not of it. Let the world do what the world does. The world is self-destructive. It changes its mind. It can't legislate morality, because God has already established what is moral and correct and what is not moral and correct. So the government doesn't have a hand in that. It can't make it or not make it be, because once God says it, it is so. So if God says something is right, it's right. It doesn't matter if the government says it's wrong. It doesn't matter if society says it's wrong. It's already so, because what God said, not the government. So that's whether the government is on the side of what God says or not on the side. It doesn't matter. We're not looking to them for our direction. We're not looking to them on how we move or operate. We're always looking to Christ. We're always looking to the Word. And it starts with having a reverential fear of God. That's even the beginning of wisdom. You can't even obtain wisdom on your own without a reverential fear of God. It is a requirement. And that's what we need to be focused on. Because people going to do what people going to do, period. And all you can do is minister God's love to them and let them make their decisions. Because a lot of the times people make decisions because they don't trust God. A lot of the times people make decisions because of fear. So how do we combat that? With love. With preaching and teaching about God's love and care and his concern about even little things. A lot of people make permanent decisions because they're afraid of the unknown. They make permanent decisions because they have no God. And they are their God. So they determine all of their decisions based on what's best for them. They're not thinking about what's best for God. And so how do we combat that? By teaching them about Christ and the love of God. That's it. Because all the stuff that I've been seeing so far, I'm like, this is counterproductive. Calling people goofies and all this other, how is that a good example? House divided won't stand. You can be in disagreement with somebody without name calling them or without putting it out there. And it's what's crazy to me is that you have Christian leaders who they're putting it out there. I wouldn't know how you felt about somebody else's feelings on something if you wouldn't put it out there. Why are you putting stuff out there for the world to see? I don't understand that, especially when it's an opposing view. If you have an opposing view with a brother or sister in Christ, why are you not taking it to them? Why we got to know? It's just crazy to see how the church is being represented. But let's be pleasing to the Lord. Let's not do things for likes and follows and sensationalism. Let's just be true examples for Christ. Let's be bright lights for Christ. Because things are attracted to light. A lot of people are trying to create this false light to try to attract people to them for their own personal gain. But when you really are a light for Christ, the people will come. You will attract people. So let's be out there being true lights to Christ. And let's ask the Lord what in us is dimming our light, whether it be our decisions, our actions, our moves, our speech, whatever it is. Let's ask him to correct that. Let's be willing to do what's necessary to be the brightest light that we could possibly be. And let's remember, as these worlds get more wicked, as the world and time get more wicked, and it seems like the sinners and the evil people are just getting away with it, and they're just living their best life and just clinking glasses and just living it up, that it will be well with those who reverently fear God, who fear and worship him openly. Come on, somebody. Realizing his omnipresence and his power openly, not in secret. Mm-hmm. Openly. It's okay to tell people that you love the Lord. It's okay to let that be known. And you should, because though they may mock and laugh at you or point now when the going gets tough and their ways fail, they're going to remember you. They're going to remember that the God that you serve. Because we still serve in the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for they don't know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know Bob. So they're going to want to serve the God above, because their ways will not last. They will not sustain. Their feelings that are rooted in selfishness will not keep them. And the God with the little g that they serve will forsake them, will turn on them, and will set out to kill, steal, and destroy. And they will remember the God of Bob while you're maintaining your peace and your sanity, while you're able to operate in joy still. They'll remember that. So be open about it. You don't have to have a Jesus bumper sticker and throw Bibles in the back of people's heads, but you can subtly let it be known that you love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be all extreme with it. But put it out there, because when they're looking for something, they'll remember you and they'll come and they'll seek you. Because I've had that experience as an unbeliever. I remember when I started to really want to look for some sort of purpose, I thought about the people that I knew who were serving God, who always seemed to have peace, even when there was chaotic things going on and things that were not working for their favor. I remembered them, and I wanted that. I wanted that peace. So I wanted to know about the God that they served, because I was open to anything. I didn't care if they served a bullfrog. I wanted to know what was the source. And it'll come a time where people are going to want it. Some people are going to want to know the source of you, of your peace. Even in all your humanity and brokenness, they still see that undercurrent of peace. Or knowing that things work out for you. Because ultimately, that's what people want. People want to know that it's going to be okay. But they want to know that. They don't want to hear it. They want to know that it's going to be okay. That it's going to work out. And you could tell them that when they are, because all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so when people are looking for that answer and they seek you, you could let them know with God, all things will work out for your good. That's the thing. You don't just say it all work out, because that's vague. Somebody say it's all going to work out for who? Because if there's two opposing sides, that if it's working out for one side, does it mean it's going to work out for the other? Like, come on. But the word is clear that it's going to all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you can minister to a person and let them know that not only is it going to work out for you, but it's going to work for good. Good comes with it. And good is good. There's no like, I know the world tries to call things that are bad good, but when God says it's good, it's really good, truly good. So that's what I have for tonight. I'm going to continue my studies in Ecclesiastes. It's probably going to take me a while to get through it because there's quite a few books. It is meaty, you know, and with God giving me that revelation of why Solomon wrote it, there's 12 chapters. Probably could study one chapter every month. I don't know how God's going to have me to do it, because it is so meaty. Because you're just think about looking at it like the leading authority of wisdom and what he's saying about life. Because that's what it's about, Ecclesiastes. He's telling you about life. He's telling you that you could do this, you could do that, you could do the other. It means nothing without God. That's basically what he's telling you. So all these things that we chase in life, all these reasons why we put God on the back burner, he's teaching you here in Ecclesiastes that those things mean absolutely nothing. They have no value. They only have the value that you give it, which you're not the authority on value. It's a delusion. It's a deception. It's just what you think, but it's not facts. Because your thoughts aren't always facts. That's a message in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people go, well, you'll ask them, why'd you do that? Because I thought. Okay, but just your thoughts alone cause you to do that. Yeah. Your thoughts aren't always facts. Your feelings aren't even always facts. Come on, let's get a little deeper in it. Your feelings are always valid feelings, right? Because you're feeling them. So nobody can say you didn't feel that way, because then that would be a lie, because you are feeling that way because you're experiencing your feelings. But your feelings aren't always facts. So you have to get to a maturity level in your walk where you acknowledge, I'm feeling this way, but where you have a self-assessment and say, okay, even though I'm feeling this way, is this based and rooted in facts? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, let's get to the root of what's really causing the feelings. Because I've seen a lot of relationships, whether they be romantic, professional, personal, fall apart because somebody was thinking something and somebody was feeling some sort of way, and it was completely made up. It was projecting from some past experience and made it the words of Christ written in red concerning that situation. It was the gospel, and it was 100% lies because they didn't stop and check themselves about their feelings or even go to the other person to confirm that what they were feeling was in fact true. They just ran with it. Don't let your feelings get you out of the place of where God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation like that where at a job I was at, they decided, the job decided that they was going to have me mentored because I was being promoted to a position that, truth be told, I really wasn't qualified for from their own standpoint. Now, God always qualifies. Promotion comes from God, not from man. But from their own standards, I was technically not qualified for, but I was qualified enough, and they needed people to work this position. And because I was considered the most senior, because they had a lot of turnover, and I had gained a reputation for being quite good at my job, the opportunity came up for me to be promoted. But they wanted to have me be mentored by somebody, which I was excited about. I'm a proponent of mentors. I love mentors. I think everybody should be mentored, whether the person be alive or not. You can read books and watch sermons. You can always be mentored by a person. But so I was excited about this opportunity. And when they told me who the lady was, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, because she had a reputation of being very good at her job, but very abrasive and difficult to deal with. And her reputation was well-deserved once I met her. And I could have allowed my feelings to get me out of position because I didn't want to deal with her. I really didn't. I had enough. I was fed up with dealing with her and went, prayed, and told the Lord, I know this ain't of you. I know you didn't send me to be dealing with this lady because I'm going to lose my job. If I keep dealing with her, I'm going to go off on this lady. And the Lord told me to be nice to her. And I was like, how do you be nice to somebody who's so mean and just looks to break you down and tear you apart? And he said, just be nice. Be nice to her. And that's exactly what I did. First, I was very sarcastic about it. Thank you so much for always taking the time out of your busy schedule to find each and every mistake that I make and bringing it to my attention before I even start the clock, before I even have my coffee and oatmeal. I really appreciate the fact that the first thing that I have to think of when I come into this place is the mistake that you found, because you were up all night tirelessly working through all of my work to find each and every crevice and crumb of a mistake that I made. Thank you so much. And I kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. And then she started opening up to me. Then I started being sincere about the stuff I was saying. So I'm like, shoot, she's making me good. Because this was getting to the point where I wasn't just double checking, I was triple, quadruple checking my work. She, because I knew she was going to come with that red marker and she was going to have them printouts in the morning. Literally. And she was a tiny little thing, tiny little lady. So she couldn't even see over the edge of the cubicles, but yet she would find me. I remember one time I told her, there's a bat signal coming out when I come in. Like, how do you know I'm here? Work starts at 8 o'clock. It's 7:24. And here you are. You found me. Like, can I please eat first? Let me get my oatmeal. Let me get some coffee. Let me splash some water on my face, please. And she's like, okay, but as soon as you're done, we need to look over these items. I'm like, oh, I know. I know. But she did have it to the point where I was so good and I was making less and less mistakes because I knew she was going to find them. Like, there was no hiding place that she couldn't sniff out with a mistake that I made. She was going to find the mistakes. Like, her life's mission was to find mistakes. Not to find what I was doing good, but what did I do wrong? And it got to the point where I was getting less and less and less of those red marks. And I was telling her, I was like, you know what? You're really making me good. And I was meaning those compliments that I was giving. I wasn't being sarcastic no more. I was like, because of you, like, I'm almost like, you know, fail-proof. Like, I'm so confident in my work because you stay on me. And she started opening up to me, and she started telling me about her very nasty divorce she had went through. And gave me opportunity to minister to her, and she had a birthday that came, and I bought her this, collectively with the team, we all collected money, and I bought her this, God told me what to buy her. I bought her this huge bouquet of roses, and she broke down and cried. And I remember one of my teammates like, why'd you get her such a nice gift? Because they still didn't like her. You know, but I was dealing with her more one-on-one. And she still was pretty abrasive to everybody else. And I said, you know, we should get something nice. Like, I want something nice about it. This is what we get. And she's like, that's too nice for her. But slowly but surely, she really opened up and I started to minister to her. And she started to not just treat me better, but she started to treat everybody around her better. I had a birthday, and I remember she walked up to me before I was going on vacation, and she's like, here. She shoved something in my hand, and it was $20 and a little note that said, happy birthday. And I was like, oh, I still have the note. I kept it. It's like a little sticky note. And it was like watching when his heart grew three sizes bigger, he goes back to Whoville with all the gifts. It was like seeing the Grinch's heart grow three sizes bigger because she really started to change. And she would listen to the things I tell. I would minister God's love to her. But I could have let my emotions get me out of a situation that God had me in just because I didn't like the way it was making me feel. Your emotions should not be the authority, the final authority on the decisions that you make. God should be. Because you could tell the Lord, I don't like this. I don't want to do this no more. He like, what you got to do just because this is what I called you to do. And what you going to do? You going to let your emotions control you, or are you going to let God control you? Do not let your emotions get you out of position, because I can see why the Lord didn't have very many servants that would have ministered to her. But he knew I was a willing servant. That's why he chose me to do it. He chose me to stick it out, and guess what? It worked for my good, because she literally made me better at my job to where I was A1 by the time I left that job. A1 because of her. So it doesn't matter what her reasons were for doing it. Maybe it made her feel good to be so critical of somebody else because she told me her ex-husband was very critical of her. I don't know. I wasn't a psychologist. But I know that it didn't matter what her reason was for doing what she was doing. God used it for my good. So I benefited from her doing whatever she did. Because like the word says, all things work together for good. And then while it was benefiting me, she was getting ministered to and being reached, because she didn't go to church and all that kind of stuff. She was kind of a hermit. She would go to work, drive everybody crazy, but do an amazing job, and then go home and hole up all day. That was her life. Her whole life was that job. That's why she was so good at it, because she didn't have a life outside of work. She would go to work, go home, because she had to. I'm pretty sure if she could have set up a little, you know, place to sleep and eat at the job, she would have did that, because her life was work. She poured into it, and she was the best at it. But again, she was very abrasive and difficult to deal with, but they tolerated her because she was so good at her job. So her job wasn't in jeopardy. They didn't care that people didn't like her. So sometimes you got to get over your feelings, because maybe there is nobody else that's going to do what God needs done. Because the workers are few. And when I had that emotional outburst in my head in prayer, the Lord told me, no, just be nice to her. That's it. He didn't say, now, Tanisha, no, put your feelings to the side. He didn't even acknowledge my feelings. He just said, be nice to her. And I'm like, how? I was literally in the bathroom stall, and I talked with my hands. Somebody would have been peeking through a crack. They would have thought I was losing it. Because I'm having this conversation with God, I'm praying, and we're having this conversation, and I'm using all my hands, and I'm like literally flinging my hands around like, how? Be nice, how? How to be nice to this person? She's so mean. She's driving me nuts. Because it wasn't just her one time a day bringing this paper. No, it was like two times a day that she would bring it. She'd bring it first thing in the morning, and then she would bring it, I guess, like the stuff that I did in the morning would process through midday, and she'd bring another one. So when I would leave and go home, because I used to work a lot of overtime, not only did I work my regular overtime, but she would be like, you need to fix these mistakes that you made during the day. So it was a double whammy for me. I couldn't just get the paper in the beginning and then like, whew, got the rest of the day. I got to deal with her till tomorrow. No, I still had to deal with her in the afternoon. And then she'd be just extra nasty about it. Like, didn't you make these same mistakes last Tuesday? Like, I don't understand why you keep making mistakes. Like, what's not clicking? What's not registering? I'm like, I just know. So don't let your emotions get you out of position. And just know that your emotions should not be the leading authority. The emotions should not be the leading authority, right? Come on. Your the government. What are we talking about? Like, the leading authority, the message for tonight is God, period. I don't care who's allowing or not allowing things, or what your feelings are telling you, or you had a bad experience before, or oh, I know this before. Come on, I've done that. I have done that. Where I've had a traumatic experience or a bad experience or unpleasant experience somebody didn't like, and I vowed to myself, this is, you got one time to fool me. You got one time to get over on old Tanisha. And then I'm in a situation and it's feeling very familiar, feeling very similar to that situation I said you got that one time. So I'm like, you ain't going to get no second time. And really, that's where I need to be. And got myself out of position, and the Lord like, get back over there. Get back in the ring. I'm like, but this feels like, okay, but just because that's what it feels like, don't make it so. You always make your decisions based on what God is telling you, not based on past experiences or your feelings or what your mama said or the government. Only God should move you. You should be powered by Christ, period. Because everything that moves or that has an energy source, it got a power source, like cars. Put some diesel in your 81 octave car, see what happens. You got to have the right power. And we as believers, we need to be powered by Christ. That's who moves us, not anything else. That's it and that's all. And all that other stuff, guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have to remember that when the Lord told me to be nice to that lady. Because I'm like, how? Be nice, how? He said, just be nice. And I'm like, but I don't know how to be nice. And I really didn't. But I was able to do it through Christ. So I didn't know how to be nice to no mean person, but I sure know how to be sarcastic to her in the guise of niceness. I know she probably was like, huh? I mean, I was extra sarcastic. Gee, thanks so much. I just what I wanted. Couldn't wait to get to work to get your red paper marked, you know, mistake file. Like, I thought about the whole time I got here. And she'd be looking at me like, okay. Like, hey, do you mind if I take this paper so I can eat my oatmeal as I look through my mistakes? Because I live for it. You know, and then like I said, it started to become a sincere thing. I did what I needed to do to be nice. it was better than what I was thinking about doing. She was going to be called everything but a child of Christ. I would have had to leave with a box in my hand with my little belongings because of the way I wanted to respond to her. So when you want to be powered by something else, know that you can overcome it through Christ. You can't overcome it on your own. That's the problem. A lot of times people be speaking facts, but not the full truth. I can't do that. You're right. You can't do it. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't forget that. See, we just chop it on up. We speak one part and we just leave out the other. So when you're in a situation and you know God has you in, you can say what you can't do. Yeah, you're right. You can't do that, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you get to the other side, I'm grateful for that experience with that lady. I still pray for her. I'm very grateful because I really saw God work. I saw a heart turn around. I saw a cause up close and personal. And I saw that I was not being sensitive to what was going on with her. I was just basing it on how she was treating people. I didn't look past her bad behavior to see a broken person. I did not see that. I was so focused on the action that I wasn't seeing the person behind the action. I was trying to fight flesh. When the word says that we wrestle not with flesh, but it's principalities, wickedness in high places. The enemy had got a hold of her through the abusive situation that she had been in, through the heartache and the pain. There was a door opening and he had latched himself in, and that was what was pulling her strings. And I'm too busy worried about her bringing some printed out papers to me every day. I learned from that situation. And here I am, a believer, lover of God, lover of people, and could not see a broken, hurt person that needed the love of Christ. Was too busy worried about myself and how it was making me feel. So much was gained from that experience. So before you quickly just toss in the towel, think about that. It's not about you. That situation was not about me. God saw one of his beloved, because he loves all of us, who really needed somebody to penetrate and to get past all that hurt and all that pain that would tolerate her long enough to really just get her to let her guard down so that she could open up. And the balm of the word could be applied to all that hurt and all that pain. So think about that when you're ready to just say, forget this job. These people get on my last nerve. Then people might need you. Sometimes people need you and don't even realize it. She didn't know she needed me. She just thought that she was assigned to me. And so she was ready to make my life a living hell. Not knowing that God had assigned me to her, not the job. So she was thinking I needed her so that I could be successful at my job, but really she needed me so that I could be used to inject the word of God in her and show her the love of God so that she could be successful in life. So sometimes these very people that you're trying to run from or these situations need you. They need you. They don't even know it. There's some people that are coming after you that might have made you an enemy and don't even know that the reason why the devil is using them so hard to be on your tail is because the devil knows that they need you. They don't even see it. You, they help. They done Morse coded SOS and you the lifeboat, and they don't even realize it. That God has used you for the as the means of escape. And they don't know because they're so in their flesh and so allowing the devil. And the devil has convinced them that they hate you, that you're a terrible person or whatever the cause may be, not even realizing that you are the very thing that God sent. So think about that. Let's be powered by Christ, not by emotions, not by government, not by our mamas, personal feelings, past experiences. Let's put others first. Let's love God and love people. Because when we start thinking about me, because, you know, people come to me for advice and I ask them questions. I be hearing a lot of I's and me. They sound like a bunch of choir. Me. Sound like a choir member. Somebody trying to warm up before a performance. I'm like, what about that person? And what about that situation? If your job is a cesspool and you leave, what light is there now? Everybody in the dark is fumbling around. And stumbling. They're like, oh, well, too bad for them. Nah, that's not what we're called to do. Sometimes it is for you to get out. But let's get out because God said to go, not because we sick of it. There's been plenty of situations I've been sick of. Look at Moses. He was sicker than people. He was tired. But yet he still did what he needed to do. And we need to have the same mentality. You think Paul was like dealing with them Pharisees and Sadducees and all them. Them people probably got on his last nerve. But yet he still did what needed to be done. So let's have a collective prayer and then let's answer callers. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thankful once again for the opportunity to lift your name, to love on one another, to sharpen one another, to gather and know that you are in our midst. And Father God, we're just so grateful that you are a God who never leaves nor forsakes. We're grateful that you are a God who has a tremendous amount of grace. A tremendous amount of grace, Father God. Help us to walk in grace for our fellow man and to see past ourselves and to see past our feelings or what we think and our thoughts and all this other stuff. But help us to have the mind that be in Christ be in us. Help us to seek you in all situations and not, well, I'm just going to do it because I don't feel like it and all this other stuff. No, we got to get past that. And say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How am I to respond? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to put my hand to it? Do you not want me to put my hand to it? Yeah, we need to put you first. Because the word says that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. Our mind. We have to love you with all of our mind, which means that our mind is what powers our feelings and our emotions. So that means if we got to love you with all of our minds, then we need to love you despite our feelings and our emotions. Help us to do that so that we can reach people and expand the kingdom, and we can be bright lights in these dark days. And just give us the wisdom that we need. Let us not walk in ignorance, stupidity, or because we thought so. Let us walk in facts and knowledge and understanding. Let us get beyond thinking and let us try to see truth, not just our thoughts. Let us not run with our thoughts. Let us check to see if our thoughts line up with your word, because your word is true. Now, thoughts may not always be, even if they're logical and even if they make sense. Help us to grow. And Lord, let Terrence and I decrease and let you increase, Father God, and give your people what they need. Give them this day their daily bread.
Yes.
What they need to feed on to get to the next step. And we just love and honor you, Lord, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me get my notepad. Okay, so we got about 40 minutes, and we have quite a few people. Okay. Just want to try to make sure we get to everybody tonight. If we run out of time, then we'll do a different approach, but I want to try to get everybody tonight. Okay, first caller here is 919-292. Who are we speaking to? Can you hear me? 919-292, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Who am I speaking to?
This is Shaquella.
I knew it. Hey, Shaquella, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Shaquella, Father God. We thank you for the maturity in Christ Jesus. And I see you, Shaquella, really, really maturing in the Lord and seeing things from a fresh perspective. When you mature and you operate different, sometimes people around you just don't even know how to take that. Like even the situation I was just talking about with the coworker. I had another coworker who me and her were very cool, and she also was being mentored by the same lady. Her approach wasn't like my approach, because I remember after I had the prayer, I told her, I pulled her to the side, like, look, I prayed about the situation, and the Lord told me to be nice to her. And she said she wasn't going to do it. She didn't care. She too mean, and surely I know the Lord understands and knows my heart, blah, 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 blah. So she continued to just be abrasive towards her and push back and all that kind of stuff and just didn't go nowhere with her. And she really couldn't understand, even though she was a believer, she could not understand what I was doing. And I was telling her, I'm putting myself aside. I'm doing what God is telling me to do, period. And then she started calling, here go your little friend, and here comes your bestie, and all that kind of stuff. Because she could not understand what I was doing. She couldn't understand the maturity level that I was operating under. Because she was wanting me to be mean to the lady, and she's like, I know you got to come back, because everybody that's been around me knows that I'm very sharp with words. And I could roast a person without them even realizing that they're being roasted. And she was wanting me to do that. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. I'm going to be nice to her. Even if I feel like she's being mean, I don't care what's motivating her. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. And with you, with walking in this new maturity, some people around you are just not going to understand what you're doing. They're not going to get it. And it's not for them to get, because God is using you as an example. Because the same former coworker, maybe she's more mature now because she can reference now when somebody was being, had a position of power and was being very mean and rude, and how I handled it and turned that whole situation around. And then even eventually she benefited from it, because eventually the lady started being nice to everybody, not just me. Started changing, and people was like, whoa, what's going on with her? Like, just being nice. Well, nicer. And so maybe she can reference that now. I don't know, because I'm not in touch with her anymore. But God is going to mature you in the way that you operate, the way you move, the way you handle things. And some people are not going to understand. They're going to be like, oh, you're getting soft, or they're going to have their own interpretation of what's going on. And just tell them, you know what, I'm going to pray that you get it. I'm going to pray that the scales fall off your eyes, because, yeah, there's a way that you could do things that you think is right, but only God's way. Like, let God order your steps. And God has ordered my step, and this is where God has taken me. This is the level I'm at. You could keep operating how you want to operate. But as for me, I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to do it the Lord's way, because I could do it another way, but I'm not going to guarantee no success. I'm guaranteed success doing it God's way for all parties involved, not just myself. And so just know that you're maturing. And so you're going to start moving different, acting different, treating situations, how you see things, how you view things. It's all going to be different, and people are just not going to understand. But, oh, well, you can just be their example. And if they try to, you know, start or pick an argument about it, you don't engage. You just say, you can't see it the way I see it. And so I'm just going to pray that one day you can see it that way. And that's it. And you don't owe no other explanation. And you just pray for them and leave it at that. So, Lord, we thank you for Shaquella. We thank you for the maturity, Father God. We thank you that she has the confidence to just do things different. Even if she's been doing things a certain way for her whole life, that she has the confidence to when you say to do it different, that she's going to do it different. And that's just that, with no care or concern about how others are going to view it, that she's just going to do what you tell her to do, because you are elevating her and upgrading her maturity level in you, and it's going to cause her to even see things totally different, and it's going to bring her peace, and it's going to give her understanding. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Shaquella tonight, Father God. The Lord gave me the word pessimistic. Like, people that surround you that's pessimistic about things, you got to cut them off, or you stand your ground and being the opposite, because it's like when God tells you things or y'all have views on things and you hear people always doubting it and always talking about the worst that can happen and this, that, and other. Those are people that you can share God's love with, you know, the hope for things to really kind of change their view. Because when you're looking at a glass half full, half empty, it's just depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
People look at their glass, oh my God, I ain't got nothing but a half a cup left. And you got some people look at it, hey, at least it ain't empty. You know, and so the views that God gives you are like totally opposite of a pessimistic person. And so when dealing with those people, you are getting to the point to where it's certain ones are just have to like be cut off. And some people they're still hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so you know who it is you need to cut off. And God reveals to you who it is that there's still hope for, as far as for what you can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I say hope for, it's like people that you know are around your tolerance level. You know, people that you can tolerate. Some people you just can tolerate more than others. And so dealing with those people that you just can't tolerate, and it's starting to put you like in a bad headspace, those are the people that you need to cut off, versus somebody that has pessimistic ways, but they are not just full blown. You know, they're not all the way gone. It's still some hope. They'll say like, man, that thing probably ain't gonna work because of this. And you'll be like, well, yeah, it will. And they'll be like, tell me more. You know, what makes you think that? Mm-hmm. And they're open because they ask the question. And so when you ask a question, you open up to receive that answer, to hear that answer at least.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a person that say, man, that ain't gonna work, period. I don't care what nobody got to say.
Right.
You know, that's a different person, you know. And with you, I think those the people, I know those the people that you just can't tolerate. And it's some people that's really got to be cut off, that you've been trying to figure out how am I going to do it, you know. And you got to have your Nike moment, just do it, you know, and not think about it. You just do it. You can do it by blocking phone numbers. And like, everything ain't got to be explained either. You don't have to write nobody a letter, send them an email, and letting them know what the future events is going to be. You got to walk and show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to show people what Shaquayla is talking about. You got to show people what Shaquayla is saying, mm-hmm, and thinking and believing. You know, so it's your time to start moving and really standing up for yourself. Standing up for yourself, and you're really guarding your ears. You're guarding what is allowed to be put on your mind. You don't have to allow people access to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to protect your gifts. You have to protect yourself, you know. And that's what I got for you, Shaquayla. In Jesus' name, it is all done. Amen. Mm-hmm.
What you were saying about sometimes you don't have to tell a person, because the Lord had me do that before. The person that I still love, that I was very good friends with, and the Lord told me to cut that friendship completely off, mm-hmm, because that person had a Jezebel spirit. And I wanted to explain, I wanted to sit down, have a conversation, all that. Lord said, no, just cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so hurtful to me. But I had to do what needed to be done, because everything speaks, including silence. Mm-hmm. Silence speaks. And you never know how God is dealing with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person could sometimes be, God's really dealing with them heavily, and they'll never say anything. You know, you don't know. But sometimes it seems harsh. You know, you see all these things in social media and people, oh, it's immature to cut people off and we're grown-ups. No, do what God tells you to do. If God says to just cut a person off without explanation, then just do that. Because, again, we're powered by God. We ain't powered by what our mama says, society, the government, social media. Don't matter what those folks say. The words that matter and the words that we move by are the words of God. Because the word of God is the reason why this earth is still rotating on its axis, the sun still rising and setting, and the moon too every day. His word is the only word that matters. So if he tells you to cut people off without any explanation, even if it's tough, it's hard, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, mm-hmm, do it. Because it was hard for me. This is a person that I really still care about and love. But he said, cut her off. And so I did. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter who it is. If God says to do it that way, do it that way.
Right, because, you know,
amen,
God deals with all us individually. And the way he may tell you to do something be totally different from the way he would have me deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what he put in me, just like he knows what he put in you. The world goes through all of these steps based on some studies,
mm-hmm,
you know, that they've had. And through their studies, they've come up these particular facts.
Right.
And true enough, there are some truths to it, you know, and some facts about it. But it doesn't cover all, because you ain't tested all. You ain't dealt with all.
Mm-hmm.
And God is all-knowing. God has dealt with all of us because he created all of us.
Right.
And so he knows what Tanisha needs. He knows what Shaquayla needs. He knows what Terrence needs, you know, in different situations. He may have you go in those situations where he may tell you, hey, go let them know why.
Right.
Because He also knows what they need.
Right. Some people need their mail read.
Absolutely, you know. And so we have to, we just have to be keen to, and keep our ears inclined to the Lord's voice, to the Holy Spirit, to truly be led into all truths.
Mm-hmm.
All truths. All things. He says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So all covers all.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing outside of all. All, A-L-L period, is a complete sentence. It is, it means to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
All. Hold on, I'm going to define the word all. I've never looked up the word all ever.
I don't think I have either. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I have. I don't know. I've always been a word nerd, so I'm pretty sure I did at one point. I used to read the dictionary. So.
Yeah, it says all used to refer to the whole quantity or extent of a particular group or thing.
That's good. So all things means just that.
It's whole.
It's all the whole quantity of things.
Right.
And things is there's nothing outside of things.
Right. It's all. That's just it. Holy Spirit say he would teach us all, and the word of God doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to believe that as well. You know, our belief is what connects us to our promises. We get to see the promises of God. We get to recognize the promises of God because we believe the promises of God. A person that doesn't know what God has promised, they'll be sinning and they won't be able to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But because you believe it, you seeing things with a different eye. Look at the world now. He promised that he'll never leave nor forsake us, right? And look at the state of the world is in. He said he'll protect us. You know, we still here. This protection has covered us to bring us to this point. So that means there's still work to be done. There was still work to be done. There's still growth. There's still development that needs to be done and go on in our lives so that we can become all that God needs us to be here in this earth until we see him. And that's real. But that's all I got, Sequoia. So the floor is open.
Amen. First of all, I just want to say both of y'all were on point with everything. Y'all always are. So I just thank God for the both of you guys. When Tanisha was talking about her coworker earlier, I'm in a situation of transition from the job that I'm currently at. And my manager, like, she's always been, like, mean towards me, like, acted mean towards me. So even with me transitioning, like, I'm transferring I'm with the same company, but I got a job in a different area, and it's kind of been like a hold up. I guess she's trying to, well, it's not, the enemy is using her to, like, trying to hold me up from going forward with my new mm-hmm. position. But I know at the end of the day, release is still coming regardless of what, you know, the enemy mm-hmm. is trying to do. And, like, even mm-hmm. with the situation with other people, me dealing with different people, like friends-wise, I have one particular person that I, you know, I'm friends with, but every time I talk to them, it's always something negative. And at first I would, like, you know, try and I would tell them whatever God had me to say, but now it's to the point, even when they call, I won't answer. Or if they call and I feel like talking at that moment, when they start talking crazy, I just be like, look, I'm gonna have to call you back. Like, it's, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm at a point now, like, certain things I'm just not going to tolerate. you know, either I deal with you or I don't, but that's just confirmation that I just need to cut the person off. So I just thank God. I thank God for you guys. Y'all always on point.
Wow. It's just, man, God cares. That's all. You pull, and we give what you're pulling on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't be having a clue. I've never even spelled the word pessimistic. I don't think I've ever written the word pessimistic. But the Lord said, hey, that's it. And I'm like, huh? Because at first I thought he was talking about you. I'm like, ain't this so negative? But it just, you just have to yield. You know, and again, the Holy, be led by the Holy Spirit, he'll cover it all.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He covers it all. And so that's proof right there that the Holy Spirit works.
And there's a peace that comes when you know, when you're contemplating relationships and God confirms to cut certain relationships off, there's a peace that comes along with it because we're called to love God and love each other. Sometimes we think loving each other means making ourselves available to people. And when God says, no, you need to cut that person off, then you could do it in love to know that this is what God feels is best for you. What better way to love people than to be led by love, which is God? Mm-hmm. So you know you're doing your part. Because sometimes I see people get stuck dealing with people because they feel like, well, if I'm called to love each other, love God and love people, and they don't have anybody and they need me, and so I'm making myself available because they need me. No, people don't need you. They need God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why we're always being led by God, not our feelings. So that's an emotional thing. That's a feeling thing. Well, I would feel bad if I was going through that and then my friend or the person I felt was my friend just cut me off. That's an emotional thing. Got to be asking God. And so when God confirms, you know, you've been dealing with a person, you're trying to tolerate them, you know, and you're just like, I'm trying to be a good friend. And when God's like, man, you're going to cut that off. There's a peace that comes with it.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing it to be mean. No, you're not doing it because you're emotional. You're doing it because God said it's time. It's time. And it's honestly making room for better. You know, every time God has had me release anything, he's always provided it in a better form, whether it be a job, people. So just know that you'll have a person who's not just pulling and pulling and taking, but you'll have a person, a friend that will pour into you, you know, a person that can sharpen you, that's doling you. Sometimes it feels like that when you have these lopsided friendships, and sometimes they're just seasonal, you know, but when you have these long-term lopsided friendships, it feels like they're doling you. They're making you dull instead of sharpening you because they're pull, 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 take, 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 take. They're draining you.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to give you a friend that you're sharpening one another, that you can bounce things off of, and they're not going to just tell it to you from some, you know, emotional attitude standpoint, but will really give you wise counsel and godly wisdom, you know, when it comes to situation. That's one way to have a friend that you can come to and be completely transparent and honest with. And they're not going to sit there and just judge you. They're going to give you good, godly, sound wisdom. And that's what God is sending you. So just be prepared.
Amen.
Wow, that's good stuff.
It's like, wow.
Yes.
God is amazing. He's so amazing.
Yes, he is. For real. Wow. You got anything you want to put on the forefront and pray for?
Just the situation with me transitioning to this new position, which I know, you know, it's going to happen, but just anything that's trying to hold it up, like, I just want you guys to touch and agree with me.
Well, all right. Heavenly Father, we touch and agree with our sister tonight that any hindrances are removed, any setbacks are removed, any ill intentions are removed in Jesus' name, and help her to just trust the timing, your timing.
Yeah.
Your timing. Give her the patience and give her the endurance that she needs to continue to press through. Because a lot of times when we're ready to move and we see where we're headed, but then you be still sitting in a particular place like, oh my God, like why am I still here? I got this coming, da da da. You know, there's still some things that God wants you to see. And Satan will try to use those things to get you not to see what God is doing. Because we looking at one particular thing, and God is looking at all things. He's looking at everything. Yeah. And so we keep our heads cool. There are a lot of different things that, moving pieces that are going on that we can't see, but we just have to trust God and to know that we're moving at His pace,
mm-hmm.
and not mm-hmm. at our own pace. And so, Lord, we pray for Sequela's current manager right now in the name of mm-hmm. Jesus. Lord, we just pray for her heart. Give her peace, Father mm-hmm. God, in Jesus' name. Wherever there's been hurt, wherever there's been some misleading on her part, where some people are just doing things the way that they've been told sometimes, and the way that they've been taught, based on where they are, this is how this is, where this is how you got to do this to get people to do this, and da 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 da. You know, you ain't got to be nobody's friend, and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how a lot of, you know, businesses operate. And that's how a lot of people's relationships operate. But when you really look at it, when you are living for Christ and you're operating the way God wants you to move, everybody, you see everybody, and you know that everybody is your brother and sister, that everybody was yes. created by God
mm-hmm.
to serve Him, whether they are doing it or not. You know that that's yes. why they are here. And so with that being said, it's like we begin to take on a different mentality when dealing with people, because I'm not walking in ignorance. I know. So for me to really be frustrated about your ignorance to something that I know about, I know that's a trick of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. this person isn't aware of what I'm aware of. And I see it the way God sees it, and I'm moving the way God moves. You know. And so like what Tanisha was talking about earlier, you know, you just combat it with peace, with a smile, with kindness,
yeah.
you know, you reciprocate it, you know, what you want, you put it out, you know, what you want back, you know, regardless. I speak to people whether they say hey or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. My speaking is not subjected to you speaking to me. I'm not going to stop speaking because you don't speak. Although we can justify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person's rude, man. I'm going to stop speaking. So you're going to stop being who you are? So basically you're going to allow somebody to change you? No, I refuse. I refuse. I'm going to continue to be who I am. And I know you know I spoke, but that's on you. You go, hey man, sure did speak to me, and you didn't get mad that I ain't say nothing. Cause some people thrive off of people being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I ain't never speak to that. That ticks them off when I do that. You know. But when you're not moved by what somebody else does, they begin to adjust to you because now you're teaching people how to handle you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you handle people with the utmost care and the utmost love. And therefore, you're teaching them how to handle you in return. And so, Lord, we pray that these things are done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you guys so much. I really do. And I pray that God continue to bless y'all.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you for calling in. We love you.
Absolutely.
Love you too. You guys have a blessed night.
Me too.
Well, okay, since we're low on time, you want to just pray over prefixes and area codes, or you want to? Let's keep going. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. 610-462. Who are we speaking to? Yeah. 610-462. I can hear somebody. Y'all are in their conversation. So go ahead and get to the next one. 502-548. Who are we speaking to?
It is your bluegrass brother up in Kentucky.
There he
it's
is.
Gregory.
How you doing, Greg?
Missed you.
That's good right there, man.
I know it. I know it.
You're doing well. You're doing well. Let's pray. Let's pray. My brother. My brother. Hallelujah. The man. The man. The man. Wow. I just heard the man. Like, you the man, man. You know, when you hear that statement, man, hey, bro, you the man. You know, that people think highly of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear God saying. You know, he thinks highly of you. And you're going to start seeing what God sees in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where in return, you're going to begin to think highly of yourself. Not because you're so special, not because of anything you've done. It's because God has anointed you to be the man. He's anointed you to be liked, and he's anointed you to be loved. He's anointed you to lead and to guide and to teach and to share real, authentic, unconditional love to people. Because the world and even believers still operate in under conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Under conditions. And God is going to use you in that area to really show what unconditional looks like. Hey, Greg, man, you still talk to that joker after he did that? Ah, man. He had a moment. I forgave him. Now, what am I supposed to do? Hold a grudge? I can't do that. God wouldn't be pleased with me if I did that. I have to move the way God tells me to move. And because of that, this guy's life has changed because he's made prior mistakes and people have always tagged him and called him that. And so he lived up to what people said about him. And because you saw the God in him, you saw what he could be and not what he was, he began to see what he could be versus what
Amen.
He was. And he come up out of it because somebody truly loved him through it.
Yeah.
For God so loved that he gave. That was nothing that we did to qualify for Jesus to come to earth. What did we do? Love brought him. Love conquered. Real love. Unconditional love. And so that's what you're going to share with people, Greg.
Amen.
And that's why you're going to be the man. That's why you are the man. Because you're the man that can show people, man, what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Truly what it looks like. Not just serving lip service. Oh, man, I'm here if you need me. Then when they call, you send them the voicemail. Or when they text, you wait a week later. I'm so busy, man. I saw your text. I just couldn't get back with you. You know, and that's what a lot of people do. They serve you with their lips.
Oh yeah.
But you're a man of action. You're a man of action. If you say, hey, see you Tuesday at 7:30, you're going to see him Tuesday at 7:30, God willing. That's the plan. And that's the consistency. People need consistent love in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They need consistent real love.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of people against. We serve one another with the word love. Oh, I love you. But they ain't saying under what condition. I love you as long as you make sure this is done. Long as you give me a ride to work. Long as you paying this car note. Long as you work up there at that grocery store, you give me the discount. Long as you benefit me.
Yeah.
I love you. Nah, that's not what it is. Because at the end of the day, it's about God getting the glory. It's never about us. And so we have
Amen.
To move and operate so God gets glory out of our lives. That's why we don't walk in fear. That's why we don't walk in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we ain't around here panicking. Because everything that I do and the moves that I make is to please God. So he can get glory
Amen.
out of what we're doing. I don't need no praise. I don't need no accolades. To God be the glory. Yeah, you need to be thanking God that he chose me to come here because he know I listened to him. You should be thanking God for that. Yeah, I was obedient. Yes, I did that. But I guarantee you, God loves you enough that if I was disobedient, he would have found an obedient one to come. So it's still all about God getting the glory. He just uses us to get in position so we can work.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this work. So just be ready. Don't be surprised when people say, man, Gary, you're the man. Because it's true. You know, no, no, I'm not. But in your head, you're like, I really am the man. Yes. I'm the man that's going to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the man that's after God's own heart. I'm the man that just wants to please God. And not religiously. You truly want to please him. To where you're not looking down on people. You're looking at people. You're looking in people. And you're helping people to look to the Lord from what's coming all their help.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. People need help. So, and we are ambassadors for Christ. So, hey, you need help? Let me tell you about a man. Yeah, he walked on water. You remember that story? Yeah, you know, a lot of people think it's a myth, but he walked on water. Yeah, he died too. Yeah, he was crucified on the cross. Yeah, he died, but guess what? He rose from the dead. Yeah, yes, I know you heard about it, but do you believe it? Do you believe something like that happened? Open up these conversations and these dialogues, you know, to have, and not from a religious perspective, but a love perspective. God is going to teach you how to communicate with everybody that you come in contact with, because everybody can't be communicated to the same way. It's certain things, you know, that
Amen.
Need to be, to get, be like, hold on, okay, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, man, I hear you. Man, you can have 100 people say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. 100 people you can sit up and listen to. But everybody that's saying that ain't going to grab your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there one person, you're like, oh, hold on. Or that two or three people that said, and you like, oh, They believe it. I'm connecting with that, you know. It's about those connections. And so God is going to draw people to you and drawing you to people. And regardless of what others will say around you, you shouldn't be, none of that. It might not be safe or this, that, another. You got to get rid of that, those mouths, you know, for talking, you know, and trying to speak that. Because wherever God sends you, yes, wherever God sends you, you never have to worry about nothing. You're always protected. You're always protected. You're covered. Ain't a hair on your head gonna be touched. Nothing. Because you're a man of change. Because you are the man, and people respect the man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. You respect the man. And that's what I got for you, Greg.
Yeah, when you're saying the man, when people say that, it's usually when a person, like said, it come through.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey man, I'm moving on. On Saturday, can you come through? Yeah. And then you show up like, oh, man, you showed up, man. You the man.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, oh, man, I got something going on, and I don't know this. And then you give them some advice, and they're like, man, I took your advice. Oh, man, you're the man. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I need you to do, to be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God is really taking you into, like, a daddy role when it comes to people. Because people listen to their daddy. You know, people can have a father or a person who, you know, aided in their coming into the world, but a daddy is like different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your daddy is like somebody who you like, you love and you respect and you listen to them, even if they're saying, it's like he's going to give you, like people going to feel that way about you, or they don't know why. and might even be afraid to tell you that. Yeah. But that's the type of role. That's the feeling that they're going to get, where they feel comfortable and they feel like they want to bounce things off you and they want to take your advice and they want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that you're going to come through for them, you know, if you're able to come through for them. It's not like if you don't come through, it's not like Terrence said, you're ducking and dodging phone calls and texts, you know, and making up excuses where it's like, oh, you were out of town or something, you know, there's some type of circumstance that prevented it, not because you were being a flake. And so people are going to really respond in that type of capacity. It's like you're like being the daddy over people.
Mm-hmm.
Cause a lot of people they were not raised with a dad, or they were raised with really terrible ones.
Mm-hmm.
And dads make a huge, huge difference.
Absolutely.
They make a difference. And some people say, oh, I forget my dad. I never met him. Nothing about him. I turned out great, but there's something broken.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's missing, and God always fills in the gaps. That's the type of God that we serve.
Amen.
And so God's going to really use you to daddy people where they need that guidance, that love, that unconditional love. Like Terrence was saying, a lot of times people love people with conditions. Like if they say, I loved you, and we put it on a advertisement, we see that little star at the bottom, conditions may apply. You know, but when they just say it, you can't see that. But that's really what their words are saying. Because the minute somebody does something that they don't like, they don't love them no more.
Right.
Say, hey, what happened between you? Oh, man, I don't deal with that person. Oh, I thought you loved me. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, but with unconditional love, like a daddy, unconditionally love, you know, when you have kids, if you unconditionally love them, they get on your nerves. They'll do things they're not supposed to do and all that. You still love them. And that's what people really need that. A lot of people need that because they've never experienced that. They've always felt like there was some sort of string attached, you know, or they have experienced it. They haven't experienced it from a man. It's been like their mom or something, or their aunt, their grandparent that they were raised with or something like that. And it does make a huge difference. And like Terrence was saying, you're going to know, you have to know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no arrogance about knowing that you're the man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a blessing and it's a burden, because then you know that, you know, people are relying on me. So even when I don't feel like doing something, I make myself available to do it because people are relying on me because I'm the man. And they need that. It's not about me. I'm trying to meet the needs of people for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not having an imbalance where you're being pulled every which way, but where God is directing who to go to, the steps and all that kind of stuff. I remember when in my first church home, I was part of the street witnessing team. Absolutely loved it. So fun. Knocking door to door, ministering the love of God. I was prophesying, didn't know I was prophesying over people. But it was a very small team. And I remember they had a presentation that the team did, the husband and wife team, and they were on stage and I'm like, we really need people to join the street witnessing team. Like we you know, there's only a handful of us. And God said, you're going to join. I said, oh, okay. So after church, the wife comes up to me and said, God said that you're going to join. And I said, yeah, he told me the same thing. So I was really excited, but there were some days I'd get up on them Saturdays. Ooh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Lord, I don't feel like it. But they relied on me because I was really like people. They said that when I joined the team, they got more doors open than they ever had. That people would look through the people and see them and be like, nope. But when they'd see me, they would open the door because they were genuinely curious of like, what's this young lady doing at my door?
Mm-hmm.
And so they needed me, and I knew that I didn't have a problem making myself available. There wasn't no arrogance about it, but I knew that team, that I got results, you know? So I was kind of like the woman when it came to that team.
Mm-hmm.
So when my personal feelings came in, I'm like, nah, because they need me, because the doors ain't going to open the same if I'm not there. So I would keep that in the forefront to make myself available. And it was a very, like I said, very successful team. It was a time I couldn't come because I think I was out of town for a women's conference. And they're like, yeah, we didn't get nobody. It's like, nobody opened the door. They see the lady saying, they see a Puerto Rican, an old white guy. And they're like, who? No, we're not. They were a couple, too. They were so funny. I absolutely loved them. But they said they didn't get no bites the weekend I was gone. But we were back rolling, you know, when I came back into town and we did it that Saturday. So there's nothing wrong with knowing that you're the man because it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing when people are like, when you have an overinflated view of yourself, you're the man and you're not. But, you know, it's one thing when you know that you are, you know you're a benefit to people, that you are a service to people, that you are helping people. It helps keep you honest and it helps you to remain available when God is saying to use you. Because sometimes we don't want to be, you know, available, even mm-hmm. though we know God's using us, we get tired and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, nothing wrong with that, but you're going to daddy people. So it's bigger than just, sometimes we don't realize, sometimes little things really make a huge difference. Sometimes you just saying, yeah, I'll help you move and showing up means the world to a person.
Man, especially
person with bad things. Yeah, especially person with some busted up knees.
Man.
But, I mean, even just a person that they're so used to people letting them down. They're so used to people saying they're going to do something and they don't follow through. Like, it, sometimes that is all it takes to just make a person let their complete guard down. Now you can minister the love of God to them. You know, you're taking a break, you're having a sandwich, and now you're just talking about, man, I remember last time I moved and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, because by the time I was a baby in cars, whatever the case may be, God always directs the conversation. But making yourself available to people, sometimes it might seem like something so small and a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I had a coworker one time, and he was in love with the singer Shakira. He loved her. And God told me to buy him a Shakira doll. And I was like, I'm not buying him a Shakira doll. He's a whole dude. And the Lord said, buy him the doll. So I went to Walmart, and I bought him a Shakira doll. And took it out the box and put it, set it up on his desk and all that. And he's asking everybody, who bought this doll? And they're like, Tanisha, we saw Tanisha leave it on your desk. And he comes to me like, did you leave a doll on my desk? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, why? I'm like, because you really like Shakira. And I felt led to get you the doll. So now you got your own personal little Shakira. And he was so touched by it. He's like, I've never had anybody buy me, you know, a present. And I was like, what? Like, what? You're a grown-up. Like, what grown-up person? And he said he was so, so touched by it. And we ended up, that was the beginning of friendship. And I was able to minister to him and give him some wisdom and things that he followed. But he was like, Tanisha, you told me this, and I did that. And yeah, and I was able to minister Christ to him just from buying him a doll. And I thought that was so weird. Because it was like kind of like a Barbie doll type doll. I'm like, he's a guy, like, why would he want, and he's like a macho dude, too. I'm like, why would he want a doll? Like, I'm going to insult that guy buying him like a doll. But just that small gesture made a huge difference in his life. And so making yourself available and doing things for people, when God tells you to do things, you just never know the impact. It might seem so trivial to you, and it means to that person. And God's really going to use you to do that with people. Mm-hmm. And it's going to melt those frozen hearts, and it's going to dynamite those walls that they have up and give you the opportunity to just love on and minister to people. So Lord, we just thank you for grabbing Father God for that daddy anointing to give people that love and that where they feel that unconditional love, they feel that acceptance, they feel like somebody cares about them despite them. And thank you, Father God, for giving him the strength to just make himself available to people and to do even the little things. The little things make a huge difference. A small spark can create a large flame.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you for it. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have to tell you, I called in and talked to Jeannie Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
First words out of her mouth, you are becoming a spiritual father. Lord using you as a spiritual dad.
Wow.
Wow.
And we did not hear that show. So,
no, wow. You think he's trying to tell me something?
I think so. I'm going to have to say yes on that one. Wow.
Usually when he repeats himself, that means we're not listening, right?
Or he's really trying to hammer it in. Like,
evidently. Man, I appreciate you guys so much.
Man, you too, Greg. You're a blessing, bro.
So are you. You guys love you so much, man.
We love you too. We love you too. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
God always he always outdoes himself. Like, you know, you just open your mouth and then somebody says, God told me that same thing through another person and you have no clue. So it's God is so good.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
he
is. Wow.
He's so good. We're going to wrap up because we know we're past our time. We want everybody to be able to call back. We love you, Greg. We know that you're going to be an amazing spiritual father to these people. So we're really excited for you and the people that God has assigned to you.
Absolutely.
They're really blessed people to be assigned to a man who loves God.
Absolutely.
And listens to God. So it's a blessing for all people involved, for you and for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
You too, man. Right. Thank you all.
We love you all.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up. Call back 8:45, hit 1, get in the queue. Randy normally on Wednesdays, he ministers, and then he prophesies over everybody. We love you all. We hope you have a great night. Good night. Yeah.